Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just want to remember what a wondrous, what amazing God you are. Today, even though we go through our ritual, our liturgy, our way of doing things, help us to truly be in line with your will and your way. Speak to us and through us and in us this day. Our scripture today is from John, 15th chapter, 26 and 27th verse, and then the 16th chapter, 7th through the 15th verse. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more.
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come.
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Oh, Father, show us your stuff. Show it to us, Lord, and help us to understand. Show it to us, Lord. Show yourself to us, Lord. Expose us to your truth. Expose us to your righteousness. Expose us to the things that we need to become more and more and more the people that you have called us to be. Fill us, lead us, guide us, draw us this day. Lord, we want you. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. But we praise God. We praise you, Lord, because today you said we don't have to be without you. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus.
All that we do, let it glorify your name. Let it glorify your name. May the whole world see how good you really, really are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 15 of John, starting at the 26th verse. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. We need to understand, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We are talking about the Spirit of the living God. We are talking about the one who is given to every one of us. When we are born again, we have the wonder of the Spirit of God inhabiting our lives, and we pray that he would fill us, that he would have absolute control of us, that he would lead us and guide us, that he would speak to us with such clarity that we would know the absolute will of God, the Spirit of God moving in our life. He is that Spirit of truth. He is the one that speaks truth. Jesus is the truth. The Father tells us the truth, and he wants us to know the truth so that we might serve him in spirit and in truth. God loves us. He cares for us. He wants us. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And we want to love each other even as we love ourselves. We want to be a reflection of the wondrous, amazing love of God. God is love. We want to be a reflection of God so that when people see us, when people see us proceeding through the earth, when people see us carousing around here, they will see a reflection of how God lives. Amen. Is that what we're showing? Are we letting our light so shine among men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven? We want to worship him today. We want to worship him by being what he would have us to be, the way he would have us to be. Verse 27 says, "And ye shall bear witness." Ye shall show, you shall be a reflection, you shall be one who everybody says, that's the truth, that's what it is. "And ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning." Now, it is true that God knew us from the foundation of the world. He knew us before we knew ourselves. It's true that he loved us from ages past. He's always loved us, and he knew us. But this beginning is at the beginning of our walk with him. This is from the very beginning we've known him. You see, if you don't know him, if you not met him, if you hadn't had an acquaintance with him, if you haven't confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you don't have that relationship with him, you don't know him. I tell you, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. I want to know him. I want to know him in an intimate way. I want to be with him day in, day out. I realize he has told me that if I know him, he will never leave me nor forsake me. And he's not going anywhere. He's with me. He rides with me. He's my ride or die, you know? He's with me. Is he with you today? Do you know him today? Do you know him today? Chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." I got to speak truthfully to you today. I want to speak in a way that you get it. I want to speak in a way that leaves it clear. Sometimes this is challenging. You just can't shove it all in there in all one fell swoop, you know? It comes, but I want you to know the truth. "It's expedient for you that I go away." He was talking directly to his disciples, his apostles, as he was getting ready to go to the cross. And this was a confusing time. He could say all he wanted to, that certain things would happen, but it was like, I can't comprehend that. You know, you ever have somebody tell you something that even though they spoke in plain English, even though there was some clarity to it, you just couldn't wrap your mind around it. You know, it would be like, it could be something potentially good. "Honey, I hit the lottery and we have won $500 million. And the first thing you do is you go, what?
What do you mean?
We're rich.
Oh, why? Huh? How's that work out?
Yeah, you know, that you have those kinds of experiences that you just can't wrap your mind around. But then you have the other kinds of experiences that you can't wrap your mind around. I don't love you anymore. Where's that coming from? How's that happen? Well, you know, do I have to start singing 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? What's that? I mean, this is no, that can't be. I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't get it. And this was a thing that they couldn't get, that he was going to go away. And if they started putting together some of the things, he says he was going to be killed. He was going to go to the cross and suffer an indignation that was unfathomable to them. He was going to allow himself to be murdered in the most abysmal, ugly, nasty way of that time. He was going to die. And he was going to leave them. He had been with them for years now, teaching them and guiding them and doing the miraculous and wondrous and beautiful and great. And he was doing all of this stuff. And, you know, he'd even raised somebody from the dead. He'd done it twice. And he'd healed people. And now he was saying, I'm not going to do that for me. I'm going to die and I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. And by the way, I want you to know it's a good thing that I'm leaving you. What? It's good that you're leaving? For if I go not away, the Comforter, I like that term for the Spirit of God, the Comforter. It's like a warm pillow, the Comforter. The Comforter will not come unto you. Huh, you've got to go so that you could send me someone better than you? But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I'll go. But you'll get something good. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. When he comes, you will be able to know that sin is exceedingly ugly. You will know that sin is anything that is at odds with the Word of God. You will see sin for the horror that it is, and it will become repulsive to you. He's going to reprove that the world of sin. You're going to see it. But he's also going to reprove the world of righteousness. What? Are you saying the world shouldn't have righteousness? Of course we should have righteousness. But the problem is that the world's righteousness isn't righteousness at all. You see, we have devised this righteousness that we can put together, and we grunt and we strain and we pull and we try to do what we have made up in our mind is the right thing to happen. We've got our own ideas of what right is. We've got our own ideas of what truth should look like. We've got our own ideas of what should be going on in the world, and we're we're straining to control it all. We don't think of it as being in control. We think of it as just doing good stuff. We think of it as just doing good ways, but we're not doing good ways at all because it's not God's way. We need to be doing what God would have us to do, and He's going to show us that we don't have it right. We don't have the right to determine what's good and what's bad. We don't have the right to determine what's up and what's down. We don't have the right to determine what's left and what's right. We cannot live with our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is just like filthy rags, it says in Isaiah. Our own righteousness is not good enough. It's not clean enough. We can't get that purity. We can't get there from here. Our own righteousness is not good, and He's going to reprove the world. He's going to say no to the world's righteousness. Our righteousness must come from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The only thing that makes me okay is Him. Not because I'm strong. Not because I held on. Not because I tried real hard. That's not enough. That's not enough. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of judgment. We need to understand that Satan has been judged and found wanting. I don't have a heaven or hell for you, but God does. And He doesn't want any of us to go there. He doesn't want a single one of us to be lost. That's not what He's looking for, but we're still going to do it His way or the highway. It's His way. He determines what's right. He determines what is wrong. He is the great judge. He's the one who gets to choose. Our Father will choose. He's going to reprove us of sin because they believe not on Me. Listen. Sin demonstrates that you are not believing in a certain area. Anytime you choose to do what you know is wrong, you choose to do what's at odds with the Word of God, you choose to do what He said not to do, you know, some people might call that insanity. But there's a reality. Anytime that you are going against God, it is sin. If you do not believe His word, you are in sin. There may be those that come into a place and say, well, I'm not sinning. I don't have anything against God. Do you believe His word? Do you believe that if you are human, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short. All of us need His grace. All of us need His mercy. All of us deserve death. And it is only because of His grace, it's only because of His mercy that we have a way out of the mess that we find ourselves in. Do you even think of yourself as being in the mess? Some of us don't even recognize that we're in the mess. He wants us to understand we're in the mess. And it's only because He loves us that He lifts us up out of the mess and changes us. Believing not on Him, if you don't believe in Him, There's no remedy for you. There's no help for you. You must believe in him in every area of your life. What does he say about this? What does he say about that? What does he say? What does he say? What does he say? What does he mean? And how am I living in line with that truth? Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God in your heart. Oh, can you sing to him today? Can you sing to him today with everything that you are? Are you muzzling his truth in your life? Of righteousness. When we recognize that we have no righteousness of our own, we must have a righteousness from somewhere. And the only righteousness available to us is the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. He makes the great exchange with us. He went to the cross to be able to divest himself of that and allow the sin of the world to cascade down on our lives on behalf of the Father who needed to be appeased for the sin against him. Jesus takes all of that sin and he gives us the shield of his righteousness. We now stand before God as if we have never sinned. Clean before him. Clean before him. Oh, the feeling of being clean. The feeling of being able to stand wherever you are. You know, there's something so cool about being able to go certain places. You know, it just. Oh, the door is locked. And you hold up your badge and they say, here, it's open to you. It's open to you today. Heaven is open to you today if you know him. Heaven and all of its riches, heaven and the proprietor of heaven are open to you today. Today he's calling you. Today, come in. Come in, my son. Come in, my daughter. Come on in. Let's sup together. Let's eat together. Let's have a party together. Let us just have the joy that allows you to be strong, the peace that allows you to be settled, the faith that allows mountains to become molehills, the perseverance to keep on going when you don't know how you're going to keep on going. He wants you to have the self-control so that the things of this life don't deter you from being what you're supposed to be. He wants you to have the goodness of God so that others might see your goodness and be amazed at what God can do in your life. He wants you to experience love, 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 love that is wonderful and great. Love that leaves your heart tender and open to him. Love, love, love. God is love. Of judgment. The prince of this world is judged. He made his choice. And he won't be able to take it back. But today we have the choice to do, the choice to be. The call has come. The empowerment is here. The Spirit of the living God is beckoning you. The Spirit of God is calling you. Come, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The truth is here, drawing you, wanting to fill you, wanting to change you, wanting to be with you forever. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. So much that God wants to teach us. So much that he wants us to experience. But until you surrender, until we give ourselves thoroughly, we won't experience all that he's calling us to experience. We won't know all the things, those things that we've only heard about as somebody else's experience, the things that we've only seen in somebody else's book. But we can have these things moving in our life this day, today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Would you bow your head with me? Today, you might want to pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, thank you for your glorious Holy Spirit, for your life that is willing to be in us this day, your truth that is echoing in your word. Today, Father, I surrender and ask that you would save me. I surrender and plead that you would fill me. I surrender and know I need you to empower me. The situation I find myself in is more than I can handle. But I believe I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. Fill me. Spirit of the living God, fill me this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar is open to you if God is speaking to your heart. He wants you to know him in a deep and abiding way. Don't be shy. Don't resist. Today is the day.